When I, a long, long time ago, hundreds of years ago, when I graduated from high school, they still had what they, on Sunday afternoon before our graduation, a service at the high school. And they would have a preacher come in and preach, and he would pray. There wasn't any argument about him praying, there wasn't any argument about him preaching. And he gave a challenge to the graduating class. And I can remember that Sunday afternoon, it's been 39 years ago in all reality, the pastor that came told a story that has stuck in my mind for those 39 years. Now, some of you that have been here down through the years have heard me tell this story before, but it's a story that's worth repeating because it makes a wonderful point that I want to launch off from tonight and share a few verses, a few truths from the Bible. He told a story about a hermit that lived up in the cave, outside of a small town out west. And the hermit was a recluse. He didn't come into town very much, maybe once or twice a year to buy groceries. And when he came, he didn't speak to anybody. He just went about his business and then went back up to his cave. But he was a recluse in that sense of the word, but he wasn't in the sense that anybody that was in town that had a problem or had a question that needed to be answered could go out to this hermit's cave and ask this man a question, and he would always give them the right answer. That was his reputation. Regardless of what the question, regardless of what the problem was, he would always give them the right answer. And so one day, a teenage boy decided he was going to go up the mountain and ask the hermit, the wisest man that ever lived, according to the town's opinion of him, he was going to ask the hermit a question that he could not answer right. And so he started to make his way up the mountain. As he went up the mountain, he stopped by a tree where he knew there was a bird's nest with some little baby birds in it. And he reached in that nest and took one of those baby birds and cupped it in his hand like this and made his way up to the mountain, to the mouth of that cave. And he called out, he said, "Hey, old man, the wisest man that ever lived, I want you to come out here because I got a question I want to ask you." And so the old man made his way to the mouth of the cave, and he looked at the young man, the teenager, and he said, "Well, what is it, son? I'll be glad to help you any way that I can." And this brash teenager, who thought he knew everything, held out his hand. He said, "Hey, old man, I got a little baby bird here in my hand, and I want you to tell me, is it dead or is it alive?" And you can probably figure out what the teenager was going to do. If the old man said, "Well, the bird's alive," the teenager is just going to squeeze his hand and squeeze the life out of that bird and then open his hand and say, "Nope, you're wrong. It's dead." Or if the old man said, "Well, it's dead," the teenager was just going to open his hand and say, "Nope, you're wrong. It's still alive." And the old man, as he turned to go back into his cave, said this to the young man. He says, "It's in your hands, son. You make it what you want it. It's in your hands. You make it what you want it." And of course, back in my day, that was the charge to us, that our life was ahead of us. It was in our hands. We could make it what we wanted. God appeared to Moses and said, "Moses, what's in your hand?" Moses says, "A rod, a walking stick." Moses had a choice. That rod could have been exactly that, a rod, a walking stick. A stick that would help him make his way through the desert. A stick that would maybe be used to beat off the wild animals that he came across. A stick that he would use like any old man would use a cane or a walking stick to help him get around. Or it could be the staff of God that would swallow up Pharaoh's serpents. That would turn the water into blood, or bring the frogs, bring the lice, bring the hail, bring the locusts, bring the darkness that was on the face of Egypt for 3 days and three nights. It could be an ordinary walking stick, or it could be the rod of God that would be used to split the Red Sea and let the Israelites walk over on dry ground. A rod of God that would bring the waters back together and drown all the Egyptians. A rod of God that would be used to strike a rock and bring water out of that rock. And God was saying to Moses, said, Moses, it's in your hand. You make it what you want it. You can make it in just a plain old walking stick, or you can make it a rod of mine that will be used to free my people from Egypt. You see, God does the same thing to us today. He puts things in our hands, and he says, hey, they're yours. You can make them what you want them. Let me give you just a couple quick examples tonight. He puts today in our hands. Today. Today. And he says to us, hey, this can be just another ordinary day. This can be another day of 365 that are in the year, or 30 or 31 that are in the month. Just another 24-hour period of time that you can spend and make it just another ordinary day. Or you can get up and realize that this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And treat today like it really is. This is the last, the first day of the rest of your life. And I'm going to make it the best day that God has given me. Hannah, I want you to come up here for a second. I'm going to use Hannah for illustration because she's done this to me about four or five different times. I want to tell you, Hannah is a young lady that's easy to please. I've got to do a couple things for Hannah. And on four different times, she said to me, she says, preacher, this is the best day of my whole life. Four different times. And I wondered to myself, how could that be? I mean, if the first time was the best day of her whole life, how could the second day be the best day of her whole life? And how could the third day be the best day of her whole life? And how could the fourth time be the best day of her whole life? Well, I figured it out. She's got it figured it out. She's got it figured out. She has decided that today is the day that the Lord hath given her. And when something good happens, she takes the attitude, this is the best day of my whole life. Now, here's what I hope. I hope, well, Brian, 30 years from now, when Hannah decides to get married, is that enough time? You give her up 30 years. 30 years from now, when Hannah gets married and her dad lets her, I hope I'm still around to perform the ceremony. Because when she stands in front of me with that young man that has won her heart, I'm going to remind her and say this, and I'll say this to every wife that's here tonight. Hannah, I want you to tell your husband often that he's the best husband in the whole world. Because you see, ladies, God has put your husband in your hand. You can make him what you want him. I know a lot of you already realize that, and men, we're slowly coming to that conclusion. I'll talk to you in just a minute. But ladies, here's the truth. And Hannah, I think, has learned it, and I hope I'm around to remind her when she gets ready to be married. Because Hannah, if you tell your husband often that he's the best husband in the whole world, he's going to try to live up to that. He's going to try to live up to that. And men, if you will tell your wives, you're the best wife in the whole world, they'll try to live up to it. Say, preacher, how do you know that? I speak from personal experience. A couple weeks ago, I got to do something for Hannah and her two brothers and sister. Cost me less than $8. And you know what she told her mom? She says, there's no doubt about it anymore. I got the best pastor in the whole world. Thank you. Now, you know what? I'm going to try to live up to that. Every one of these little kids, I want to be the best pastor in the whole world to them. So when I get tempted to get discouraged, I'm not going to get discouraged. Hey, God's given me those little kids, and he's put them in my hand, and he says, hey, preacher, they're in your hand. You can make them what you want them. I know it's not my responsibility entirely. I know they got a mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and a bunch of people that influence their life. But I'm glad that God has put them in my hands. And I want them to think they got the best pastor in the whole world. And that's going to help me as I live my life from day to day. I live my life just like Hannah's watching me all the time. Or Gabriel's watching me all the time. Because you see, I never want to do anything. Never want to do anything that would cause them to say that their pastor let them down. Their pastor wasn't what he was supposed to be. God's put them in my hands. He says, preacher, you can make them what you want them. God's putting something else in our hands besides today, besides our husbands, besides our wives. He's put Jesus in our hand. He's put Jesus in our hand. Every single person, he's put Jesus in your hand. And he said, he can be just another man, a man you read about in history, a man that was a good teacher, a man that was a good preacher, a man that walked the face of the earth and worked some miracles while he was here. And you can make him that, or you can make him your Savior. You can understand that you're a sinner and that sin separates you from God. And this man called Jesus, who was God, took all our sins upon him and went to a cross and died in our place on Calvary's cross. Paid for all our sins. Paid for everything that we've done. And God offers him to us. He says, hey, I put Jesus in your hand. He can be just another man or he can be your Savior. You make him what you want him. You have to decide. You have to determine who's he going to be. Is he going to be just another man that filled a few pages in the Bible? Just another man who walked the face of the earth? Just another man who was a good teacher? A good preacher? Just another man? Or is he going to be who he truly was? God. Is he going to be who he truly was? A Savior. Is he going to be who he truly was? One that went to the cross and died in our place. And God says to every one of us, he's in your hands. You make him what you want him. You're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You have a decision to make. You see, you're not going to be able to leave without making a decision. If you're here and you don't know Christ, you have a decision to make before you walk out that door. You will either say yes or you will say no. You say, preacher, don't put me in that spot. Don't make me decide. Sorry, too late. You have to decide. You have to say yes or no. You have to say yes to Jesus and accept him as your Savior, or you have to say, no, I don't believe he was my Savior. I think he was just another man. And God says, hey, it's in your hand. He's in your hand. You make him what you want him. If I had time tonight, I could go down and I could say the same thing about the Bible. I could say the same thing about the Holy Spirit. I could say the same thing about this church. God has put those things, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, our church in our hands. And he says, you can make it what you want it to be. It can be something ordinary that doesn't have any impact on your life, that doesn't affect your life at all, or it could be it could be things that affect your life every single day in a big way. It's in your hand. You make it what you want it. I'm glad we got a God that leaves the choice up to us. I'm glad we got a God that paints a picture and says, it's in your hand. You make it what you want it. Tonight, would you do that? Would you do that? If you're here and you're not saved, you decide. You make Jesus your Savior. You make him your Savior. If you're here tonight, and ladies, it's been a while, maybe a long while, since you looked your husband in the eye and said, you're the best husband in the whole world. Say, preacher, it's not true. Doesn't matter. It's true. It can be true to you. He's in your hands. In your hands. Men, if you're here tonight and you haven't said it for a while, look your wife in the eye and tell her, not now, you two, wait till later. Not when I'm preaching. I love it when they get right to it. But men, if you haven't said it for a while, you need to look your wife in the eye and say, you're the best wife in the whole wide world. You kids here tonight, you haven't told your mom and dad lately, "Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. You're the best mom and you're the best dad in the whole wide world. You tell them. You tell them." God's put them in our hands. He said, "You can make it what you want it. Your choice. Your choice." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what we've experienced tonight, for all the messages that we've heard in song, for the Bible, for the truth, for the many good things. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift cometh down from a Father above. And Father, I know the good things that you put in our life, they come from you. Couldn't come from anywhere else. They come from you. And I pray, Father, that we'd appreciate them. I pray we'd realize what they are. I pray we'd realize that today is the only day we got. We're not promised tomorrow, and we can't undo what we did yesterday, but we can sure live today. And I pray, Father, when we get up tomorrow, we get up with the attitude, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it and live it." Father, I pray for those that are here tonight that don't know Christ. You've put Jesus in their hand. I pray, Father, tonight they decide to make him their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to your honor and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.